During the Civil War, President Lincoln was informed by his War Department that a mother, a family, had lost 5 sons in battle. And on November 21st, 1864, he penned a letter to that mother, Mrs. Bixby. "Dear Madam, I've been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of 5 sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln." I'm going to share with you a message I've entitled, "And They Remembered." It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Here, our Lord Jesus Christ has died, and the third day, early in the morning, ladies have prepared spices and new grave clothes to be brought to take care of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb. We pick up the beginning of the chapter. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, 2 men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." I want to share with you the power of remembering not only the death of our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection, but the words and the life of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. When you know the Word of God, when you know the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you have placed them in your heart, it builds a prepared life. There are going to be experiences in your life that you do not expect. They are not on your radar, but they will come. But when you have spent your life treasuring the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, living the Word of God, sharing the Word of God to your family, your kids, your spouses, your neighbors, your friends, sending missionaries around the world. And by the way, thank God both of our missionary teams came back safely. We prayed and asked God that that would happen. They've had wonderful experiences. Be here the first Sunday in August. We're going to have a testimony day of our international mission teams that went out, a representative from every team. It's going to be wonderful. Now, we still have two that were sent. They arrived safely. They've got 7 more weeks of mission work there. Continue to pray for them. But thank God our mission teams were. We went out and they've come back. They've had a great week. Why? They believe in the Word of God. They're willing to go to places you and I may never go to encourage the sharing and to share personally the Word of God. It builds, it prepares you in life. And that's what happened. They thought they were prepared. What strikes me from the text when I look at it is there's so much preparation there. Except when they got there, they were not prepared. It was not anything like what they thought it would be. And everything that they had prepared and that they brought, all the bags, all the spices, all the new grave clothes, all this stuff was useless. Have you ever gone on a trip thinking you need all this stuff and you take 4 luggage, pieces of luggage? And everything you needed, you could have put in one little satchel. But just in case, they were prepared, but they weren't prepared. And yet, what they didn't realize is they were prepared. They were prepared for that moment. They just weren't aware of it. They had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They had invested in His ministry. They had spent time with Him. They sat under His teachings. They watched Him heal the sick and set the lame to walking again. They saw that. They heard that. And what they didn't realize, it was there. They just forgot. And in the critical moment, they didn't put 2 and 2 together. Have you ever known someone who never throws anything away? Nothing. I have people like that in my family, and I find myself, I'm doing the same thing. What I found out in my life, it's a lot easier to bring things into your closet than it is to take out of your closet. It's a lot easier to put things in your garage than take them out of your garage. And I tell myself, man, I'm going to clean up. I'm going to clean up. And I do. And I clean up for about, I don't know, 16, 17 minutes. I mean, just feverishly. And then I'm distracted, squirrel, and I'm going to something else. And I think, man, and then, you know, I'm bringing more stuff in. There's only one thing I can really think of that's probably worth hoarding, and that's the Word of God. Get it, meditate on it, think about it, read it, gain it, hoard it. Just bring all, make room for it. Get some other stuff out of your life and put the Word of God, the truth of God, the examples of Jesus, the life of Jesus, put the red letters, the black letters, the Word of God in your mind, in your heart. Put it all you can get. Why? You'll need it. And moments that are unexpected, you did not see that coming. I spent some time in University Hospital this week with some of our folks who've been sick, thank God, getting better. And I don't know why I've never noticed this. I've been in that hospital for 41 years. You'd think I'd pick up on a few things. But I just happened to notice, I was looking up for some reason in those hallways, and there are all these convex mirrors in corners and along hallways. You know those mirrors that are curved out and they just stick them up in places where other hallways intersect? And when you're going down the hallway, when you look up, you can actually see around the corner of that hallway. And when you look straight ahead, you're like, you can't even see there's a hallway. It is that perpendicular, is that sharp, that narrow, and they put one there because somebody may be running through there with a gurney and a patient, and you need to know they're coming before you get to that intersection. You literally can see around the corner all the way down that hallway, and I was just fascinated. Now, I found myself bumping into people while I was looking up at the mirror, but that's another problem. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice in life if we could all just see around the corner, see what's coming that's unexpected? God didn't put those mirrors, or does He? You see, He gave you His word. He gave you His teaching. He gave you His promises so that your heart could be prepared for whatever comes around the corner. The Word of God prepares you. Now, remembering the Word of God also binds perplexity. It builds preparation and it binds perplexity. When those odd moments come, when destruction levels your life, when you don't get what you expected, and you think it may even be all over, and you ask the question, why? How did this happen? Your mind is confused, your heart is sunk. These women were perplexed. They did not expect, when they came into the Garden of Graves, that there would be an empty tomb. They were coming, maybe wondering, who's going to roll away that stone? What if the Roman guards are still there? I mean, if we get the stone rolled away, they've sealed it. If we break the seal, who's going to explain to the Romans we were just doing a Jewish religious ceremony? We didn't take the body. We left it where it was, but we prepared it for its proper burial. Who's going to explain all that? And they get there, and the stone is rolled away. They go in, and the grave is empty. They're wondering who has removed the body. Their last memory was of a crucified Savior being hauled off of a bloody cross. And then two men appear in raiment so bright, the word is used there for a flash of lightning. It's almost blinding. You see, the women were not the only ones perplexed. The angels were too. The angels are perplexed. They're wondering, you know, we've been here for a while. Where are all those disciples coming to see the risen Lord Jesus? Where are all those 11 apostles? Do you think they'd be running here thinking, man, He told us He was going to rise on the third day. It's the third day. It's the third day. Maybe we can see Him when He happens. Nobody. No crowds. Nobody's there. And the people that do come are looking for a dead man. They're prepared to see the dead body of their Savior, their Lord, not a risen Lord. And it perplexes these angels. John Phillips said, you know, the whole scene must have been perplexing to those angels. In their world of heaven before the great throne of God, there's no death. There are no graveyards and the glory. And here they are in this earth, and they're wondering, man, he spent 3 years with you people. He told you over and over again, this is exactly what's going to happen. And it happened just like He said. And you're nowhere to be found. It's almost like Jesus talking to His disciples. Oh, ye of little faith. Haven't we already covered this chapter before? And they're perplexed. You and I find ourselves like the angels. Greg, remember. This is not anything the Lord hadn't already covered in your life. You need to remember the Word of God and be strengthened by it. My friends, today these messengers of heaven are surely befuddled at the failure of human mankind and its sinfulness, and also stunned by the forgetfulness of the disciples. Why are you here looking for the dead? Why are you here? He is risen. That's what has befuddled these angels. Yes, knowing the Word of God will build preparation in your heart. It also will bind perplexity. It has a way of giving you a new perspective, the way Jesus sees it, the way it really is. And the third thing, remembering the Word of God brings peace where there was no peace. Some of us today may be in that situation where we're anxious, we're disturbed, we're hurt, we're excited about something, and yet it doesn't seem to be happening on our scale. You may be in the waiting room today. You know what God has said, but it's not happened yet, and you're in that waiting room. Man, it is hard to be in the waiting room. But if you want peace, and they remembered His words, will help you tremendously. Now, when we see the women's reaction to what happened, they hear the words of these angelic beings, and they receive it. They realize He is risen. He is not here. Just as He told you, those angelic beings remind them of exactly, literally, what Jesus had already taught them when He was in the Galilee doing all those miracles on the northern shore of the sea. And He said, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Check. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And be crucified. Check. That's exactly what happened at Golgotha. And rise on the third day. Hey, check. It has happened, just as He said. And they remembered that Jesus taught them. And the Bible says they went back and they told the 11 apostles and all the rest of the disciples that were there. This was true. It was true. They had peace about it. They had seen it with their own eyes. Now the disciples, they had heard the teachings of Jesus. They now have an eyewitness, multiple eyewitnesses to the teachings of Jesus coming true, and yet they had to see it with their own eyes too. They were not at peace until they went and saw it themselves. Sometimes we're like that. But if you want peace, peace comes when you connect the promises from heaven to the problems of earth. When you make the connection with the Word of God into your everyday life, that thing that is troubling you, God has already given you a promise for it. Now, it does involve waiting. The timing of God is perfect. Our timing is usually terrible. We have expectations that are so off the chart from where God is planning and what is best, but He calls us to trust Him and wait on the timing. Not only is His truth perfect, but His timing is perfect. And so He teaches us His promises and then says, trust me to connect my promises with your problem. You see, faith is not believing that God can do something. Faith is so much more than believing that God will do something. Faith is believing what God has said and acting on it. God has already said it. Remember it, have faith, and you act on it. Faith. God is calling us to faith and His promises. His time is perfect. You and I are called to believe it. And there is a promise for your problem today. The greatest peace that you're going to experience is remembering the Word of God and believing it, trusting in it and acting on it. He has conquered your greatest problem. Your sin debt to a holy God has been conquered in Jesus Christ. And He says, trust my sacrifice. I laid it down on the altar so that you could go free. Remember it, believe it, and live upon it. It'll set you free. You'll be returned to God. Turn from your old ways, come to Jesus Christ, and follow Him, and you will be set free. And every problem you'll ever face, God's Word gives a soothing balm. He says, now I promise this, I've encouraged you, you follow me, I'll take care of the timing, you just take care of the trusting. I think about people who have disappointments, disappointments. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. That's God's promise. He doesn't say He may do it. He says He will do it. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I've dealt with people this week who were just crushed in spirit. But when I brought them into the presence of God, when I reminded them of the Word of God, they kept the faith. And God is lifting their spirit. God is doing a work in their life. Why? Because God is near the brokenhearted. He said it. It's true. Dear one dealing with disappointment, hear His promise. If you're dealing with doubts, the disciples had doubts. The apostles had doubts. People have doubts. Doubts if something good is going to happen. Doubt if there's a future for them. Doubting if God cares. Praying for a dear person today, years and years and years, struggling with a hurt in their life, and they're dealing with doubt. Does God really care? Does God even exist? Deep in their heart, they know that God exists, and they're struggling with that doubt. The Bible says, here is your promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do it. Do it. And lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That is God's promise to you. Will you trust Him? Or are you going to lean on your own understanding? Are you going to be looking to how the world says solve your problem? Or are you going to trust God and follow the Holy One? Follow your Creator. Follow the God who loves you. To that one dealing with some disability today, we all will face some disability. The outer man perishes, but the inner man, praise God, is being renewed day by day. But that first part, that outer man perishes, man, it happens as you get older. There's some disability. You're going to find one day you'll probably pick up a stick and maybe a walker one day, a fancy rollator. You're going to have eyeglasses one day. Some of y'all are really happy about it. Listen, I tell you, it happens. You're going to have to pick up. Some people deal with severe disabilities. The Apostle Paul could sit down side by side with you and know your frustration and know your struggles. You are not your disability. You are a child of God. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It was a physical ailment. We don't know what it is. And he prayed. He bargained with God. He said, God, I could do so much more for you if you could release me from this horrible physical infirmity and this disability. Lord, what could I do for you if I got rid of this thorn in the flesh? And each time, God just kept reminding, my grace is sufficient for your need. My grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm telling you, that's a faith. Some of you are dealing with disabilities beyond what I can imagine. I want to tell you something. I hope one day God will allow you to see the incredible, inspiration. Your faithfulness to God has been to multitudes of people. You may not realize it now, but one day, my friend, you keep being faithful. Paul eventually said, God, I'll just depend on your grace, use my weakness, and show your strength through me. And how God used him and how God is using you. Your desires. Some of us struggle with desires. We all do at some point, but maybe today you're really struggling with desires and you're not content. And it just seems things aren't going your way and your soul is not rested and you're not at peace. Paul says, let me tell you how to handle those wayward desires, that discontented desire. He says, I don't say this out of need, Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He said, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself. I know how to make do with a little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. That is God's promise during tough times and during great times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will give you strength. Some are in utter despair. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you ever said, I wish I could just get a moment of rest? Come to Jesus. Darkness. So many are in spiritual darkness, the greatest problems of life. Jesus has a promise for you. I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Come to Jesus. Claim his word. Know it. Cherish it. Treasure it. And live it. And then even the death that's caused by our sin. Jesus said, I am the answer. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That is God's promise to you. Even over death, he is the resurrection. What's your problem? Jesus is your answer. Lieutenant Michael Blassie, graduate of the Air Force Academy, was a combat pilot of a plane during the Vietnam War. In the spring of 1972, the North Viet Cong had invaded into the South as far as a major city called An Loc. And Lieutenant Blassie was sent out on yet another combat mission as a counteroffensive to push back the invading Communist Army. It would be his 138th combat mission. But he did not come back to base. He was shot down and died in a fiery crash. It was long thought that his remains were never found, though they did find some remains at a crash site and some personal items. In the process of labeling and filing and researching, that box of remains and personal items got labeled unknown. The next year, Congress said, we want the National Park Service over Arlington to add a space for a crypt to honor all of the unknown from the Vietnam War. Now, there were not many compared to previous wars that were unknown because we had advanced identification and those type things. But there were still unknown and are unknown servicemen today from Vietnam. So they did that, but it took 12 years before they actually buried an unknown soldier. and the remains of Lieutenant Blassey, unknown to the family or, of course, this U.S. service, was put into that crypt of the Tomb of the Unknown. President Ronald Reagan, 1984, representing the unknown family, his body is put there. What became known later with some compelling evidence is that that indeed was believed to be remains of Lieutenant Blassey. And so they petitioned, the family petitioned for many years. And finally, the government relented and exhumed the body, and with now DNA testing, and it turned out some personal effects had been placed in the Tomb of the Unknown. That was Lieutenant Blassey's personal effect. It was confirmed that Lieutenant Blassey was the one who was mistakenly labeled unknown. The family said, "We want our loved ones' remains brought back home. We want to bury him back in our home in St. Louis, his home." And that upset some people because now there is not an unknown serviceman in the crypt representing the Vietnam, though they do acknowledge all the unknown there. If you go there, there is an engraved plaque there in stone honoring all of those Vietnam War unknown servicemen. So they were asked, the family was asked, why? Why did you want him back? And his mother said simply, "He is our son. He has a name. He is not unknown. He had a life. He had loves and beliefs. He is not unknown. He is Lieutenant Michael Blassey." It is right, my friend, that we remember the death of those who died in the service of our nation. May we never forget. But each family member will tell you, don't only remember the last page of the last chapter of their life. Remember their whole life. And I will tell you, Christians, this challenged me this week. Don't only remember the great, amazing events of our salvation, the birth of Jesus, and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the death of Jesus. The thing that inspires us most is His living presence and the things He teaches us through His holy word, His words. And they remembered His words. His words are life. His words are truth. Remember His example and live the life that would honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember His life and remember His words. They will prepare you. They will give you peace and they will guide you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our mighty God, we come in the powerful name of Jesus and ask you, Lord, to have your way. Is someone here who needs? They need you, Lord. They need to confess their sin. They need to take their stand for Christ. They need to follow you and receive your gift of forgiveness of their sins and the joy of life eternal with you beginning right now. Maybe someone needs a church home. Somebody here may be dealing with something that is just beyond, and they need to remember your words, your promises. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No weapon formed against you will prosper. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, have your way. Make your word come alive, not only that we might remember it and know it, but we might live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Let's sing today, and you come as the Lord leads you.